Muslim ibn Aqil, the great betrayal of the people of Kufa town. In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the most kind.
Dark times had fallen, 50 years had passed since the Messenger Muhammad had breathed his last.
Since the Messenger Muhammad had breathed his last, Fatima al-Zahra had been left alone.
And when she left, like a rose nipped at the bud, so was Ali left alone, within his heart, pumping blood.
A fragrance of a past memory, a gleam, Imam Hassan's Khilafah too, only a dream. Before he too tasted the poison, and so Hussein was left alone, his eyes upon the horizon.
The tyrannical drunkard Yazid the First had taken up the caliphate from his father cursed, determined now to be the worst.
One by one, the prominent ones were coerced.
One by one, the prominent ones were coerced.
And the Muslim lands under his fist submersed, few now remained willing to cope.
12,000 letters presented before the Imam of the time. Hussein looks on with his prophetic eyes, sublime.
As he worships his Lord between the Rukn and Maqam, the people of Kufa call upon their Imam.
The people of Kufa call upon their Imam.
As he worships his Lord between the Rukn and Maqam, the people of Kufa call upon their Imam.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Kind, to Hussein, son of Ali, from the Shia aligned.
We are ready, our hearts towards you inclined.
We are ready, our hearts towards you inclined. Our armies are prepared to confront Yazid, the maligned.
Hasten to us,
for soldiers need a commander to stand behind.
And by the prominent Shia of Kufa, these letters were signed.
When Muslim arrives, Kufa was full of life.
Kufa was full of life.
Kufa was full of life.
Thus was Hussein, the son of the Prophet, invited to Kufa.
Hasten unto us, hasten unto us. Hasten unto us.
But Yazid sent upon Kufa city like a plague dressed in clothing pretty, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, the beast in whose heart there was no pity.
Arrest the dissidents who make trouble in town. Bring me every traitor, whether unknown or renowned. Let this city know that to Yazid belongs the crown, and those who oppose him will be brought down.
Ibn Ziyad drew his whip and struck the face of the Shia, a punishment for those who brought themselves near.
But Muslim ibn Aqil would not succumb so easily. He had been gathering supporters and arms in secrecy.
He was the representative of Imam Hussein, alayhi salam, after all, and having 18,000 supporters is not at all small.
So with those who had sworn allegiance, he marched,
reaching the gateway of the palace arched. Ibn Ziyad and his henchmen hid themselves inside, and from the balustrade, one stood and cried,
O Muslims, fear the forces of Yazid.
They have many weapons, armor and steeds.
Soon shall arrive the Syrian army with a vengeful fury, and you shall be at the mercy of Yazid's judge and jury. Save yourselves from the torments and return home. Do not besiege the fortress of your Amir alone.
If only
had the soldiers of Muslim ibn Aqil realized that these words were anything but real,
history would have gone a different way. If only they had not dispersed and had decided to stay. If only they had said to this representative, O representative of Imam, we submit and we obey. But alas, these were the treacherous people of Kufa city. Their morals were rusted, their steadfastness gritty.
We ought to avert the chances of this malady. Why are we here fighting like Persia and Rome? It is better to remain in our homes.
Let us leave these two factions to settle their differences alone. Allah shall improve their affair, to each their own. The fear throughout the city of Kufa grew thicker, but even the hound of Ashab al-Kahf knew the meaning of loyalty, which is more than can be said of the people of Kufa city.
By nightfall, Muslim ibn Aqil was left with no more than just 10 men. How strange that just hours before, the buzz of the city had thronged alive with men willing to raise their swords and strive, with chants of Labbaik filling the air, ready to endure suffering, ready for pain. But now only these 10 remain.
Standing beside this lonely representative of Hussein, Muslim entered a masjid as night closed in. The bittersweet worship of the lonely friends of Allah.
Not one man left to support the cause, cold and empty. But this was only the beginning, for the true tragedy has not yet begun. For the loneliness of his master Hussein will shock and stun. And with this thought in his mind, Muslim wanders the lonely bazaar and streets. Nobody to see, nobody to meet, no water to quench his thirst and no food for him to eat. Just hours before, he had been the honored guest, but now he realized the Kufan's words were in jest. Broken, tired, hungry and thirsty, Muslim now finds himself at a poor woman's mercy.
She gives him water and shelter from the treacherous night, but they are betrayed by a son of this house who sells Muslim to the governor for a very small price.
Muslim hears the galloping of horses from outside.
Oh Muslim, my cousin, this is your hour. By Allah, you shall be thrown from the top of the tower. But O Muslim, you will never see how the horses trampled me.
But O Muslim, you will never see how the horses trampled me, how they slew my brave son Ali, how the arrow pierced the neck of my baby.
You will never see how the horses trampled me, how they slew my brave son Ali, and how the arrow pierced the neck of my baby.
Oh Muslim, this is your hour, so show them now that only Allah has power.
As the soldiers flooded into the street, Muslim put on his helmet and rose to his feet.
Stepping outside, he looked upon those treacherous men and drew his sword like a poet drawing his pen.
The wolves of Kufa had emerged from their den.
And the swords and the spears of these mutinous men were pointed now at Muslim, but he showed no fear.
Do you threaten me with the sword and with the spear?
O Muslim, said the captain, to you we do accord amnesty, safety, and peace. So hand over your sword.
The amnesty offered by liars and sinners has no reward.
Thus did Muslim draw his sword and unleashed upon the servants of Ibn Ziyad a terrible rage.
Several of the enemy soldiers were floored by this Hashemi lion that could not be caged.
The swing of Muslim's sword was such that onlookers were reminded much of the legendary sword Dhul-Fiqar and the uncle of this man, Haydar al-Karrar.
One by one, Muslim threw the soldiers to the ground. Even under the scorching of the sun, he continued to astound.
The enemies began to go around, a sword from one side, a spear from another. The enemies did surround.
O Muslim, you will not see how they will surround your Hussein. You will never witness what they will do in the dry and barren plain. You may be thirsty, O Muslim.
You will never witness what they will do in the dry and barren plain. You may be thirsty, O Muslim, but before your thirst, we think of the thirst of Hussein.
O Muslim, you will not see how they will surround your Hussein. You will never witness what they will do in the dry and barren plain.
And before your pain, we think how those who are cursed will surround your master Hussein and slay him in a way that is worse.
Muslim recites the poem, I have vowed not to die but as a free man, so bring upon me whatever you can. Muslim was struck and stumbled back, blood on Kufa street for the dogs a snack.
But Muslim continues to attack. Though the thirst has become now too much to take, and the soldiers are beginning to make him break. A man rushed at him from behind with his spear. The cowardly attacked from behind for fear and struck Muslim ibn Aqil, who fell to the ground
and dragged like a slave to the sinner's courtyard, presented before the puppet Ibn Ziyad,
who looked down upon Muslim with disdain and awe. Even now this Muslim seemed he could fight some more. Giving Ibn Ziyad a defiant glare, there was in this Muslim's eyes not a glint of fear.
"Woe to you," says Muslim, "he is not my Amir."
"Woe to you," says Muslim, "he is not my Amir.
The one I follow is on his way here."
"The one I follow is on his way here."
"The one I follow is on his way here to this place of treachery and deceit. Even now he is enduring the heat."
"To Allah belongs all strength. To him belongs all power."
Thus was Muslim ibn Aqil taken to the top of the tower, and from the palace rooftop he was thrown down. This was the great betrayal of the people of Kufa town. My longing to meet my predecessors, my grandfather, father, mother, and brother, is like the longing of Prophet Yaqub to see his beloved Yusuf. A place for my killing has already been destined for me, where I must reach as if I see those wild wolves tearing apart pieces of my body in Karbala. How many stomachs shall be filled with me, my flesh and blood? And how many leather bags stuffed with my belongings? There is no escape from what has been inscribed on the state of destiny. We, the holy Ahlul Bayt, have considered the happiness of Allah as our happiness, and we endure his tests patiently. He grants us the reward of the patient ones. Then Imam Hussein alayhi salam announced, "Whosoever wishes to shed and sacrifice their lives on our path, and whoever feels the gratification of the soul in meeting Allah, prepare yourself that you may march alongside us. In the morning, we shall begin our journey, insha'Allah."